Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am a podcast host who was originally played by Noah Heisinger, but has now been replaced by Bryce Dallas Howard. And I am here with...
Edward's sparkling skin in that field scene, which cracked me up.
Which one? There was quite a few field scenes in this
movie. Specifically the one when he and Bella are just like sitting in the field and his skin is just like...
Shining,
but you can tell that it's CGI. Like, you can tell it's computer generated, which is so funny to me.
Yeah, it's in the phase of CGI where it's like, I feel like they probably did it practically in the first movie. And now I think it's like, I feel like it looks worse now. Like, it's more over the top.
I don't know. Like, it's
why
bad.
Can't they just put glitter on his face?
Yeah, great question. Scenes? I don't know. But it looks pretty silly, and it definitely adds to the silliness of this movie.
So we're going to be talking about Eclipse today in our third episode in our Summer of Twilight. Third movie, third episode. Yeah. Tracks. But before we do that, we got to get into last week's question of the week answers.
We do.
What did we talk about last week on last week's episode?
It was about the title track and what movie needs a title track.
Yes.
Because of 9 to 5. And from the last year, I believe, was the question.
Year.
What movie, like what recent release needs a title track?
They don't do that
track?
Anymore.
Yeah, it's
as
not
much.
As popular anymore. On Spotify, Noah Hewitt said Dungeons and Dragons.
Perfect choice. That's just the kind of movie.
I never saw that one. You
Me
did.
Neither. I know I didn't. I just feel like the kind of movie that seems like just is like, that's a title track movie.
It does seem that way. I haven't seen it, so I can't say, but I would guess that from what I know about it, that it seems like one that would benefit from or would be more fun to have a title track of sorts.
Yes. And then Gabe also shared one on Instagram, another movie that neither of us have seen, which is great for us. Cocaine Bear.
Okay.
He said it would have benefited from a rock title track when the title pops on screen. And again, I feel like I've not seen the movie, but I know, obviously, like the premise and enough about it. Seems like one that would be cool.
I think so. Is Barbie going to have a title track?
I mean, I think they're using like the Barbie World song.
Are they using
like,
the Barbie World song?
I think they're using a cover of it. Like someone's
I'm
doing
a
like
Barbie
Ice Spice, maybe? I don't know. Someone's doing a cover.
Oh, Ice Spice? Great. I love that, if that's true.
That could be true. Let's see. Barbie sound. I know someone's doing a cover of it.
I saw a tweet about Billie Eilish being on the soundtrack today.
Nicki Minaj is doing a Barbie World.
Okay. Well, I would have preferred Ice Spice.
Pink Pantheress is doing a song. Tame Impala. Wow.
Yeah, I heard Billy was on the soundtrack as well. Shout out to Elijah.
And I think there's one more that they said like they're teasing still. Like there's like one big artist that they haven't revealed.
I guess we'll find out tonight. And then there's rumors. We're also going to find out because the social media embargo lifts tonight as we're watching this. There are rumors that Timothée Chalamet and Saoirse Ronan
have
cameos in this movie. So
that would be beautiful.
We'll find out tonight when people start posting about it. I feel like the best place I could see a cameo happening is like they're just out in LA. And then like Barbie and Ryan Gosling like pass them and then they turn and Timmy's like, was that Barbie? And then
I feel like they should play themselves.
Yeah, like playing themselves like out in LA. I think that's my prediction for anyone. This episode will come out after we'll know. So we'll find out if I was correct. But my predictions about Twilight have also been true so far.
Yes, they have been. That's a great transition. I'm going to actually bring us back quickly just to double down. So Nicki Minaj is doing Barbie World with Aqua, but also with Ice Spice. So Ice Spice is on.
Okay, I'm here for that. I'm an Ice Spice fan. I could not tell you any of Ice Spice's songs, but I like
Munch.
Yes, I've heard them.
Is one.
Like if I hear them, I would know what they are.
They do all sound very similar. It's like that. She's got her one style right now. I wonder if Ice Spice has watched Twilight.
Probably.
I feel like at least the first one.
I feel like Ice Spice is campy enough that they've watched like Twilight.
Twilight. So let's jump into Twilight then. The third movie. So we've already seen the first two.
Yes, this is Eclipse. We've seen Twilight, we've seen New Moon, and now we have reached the Eclipse.
We have. So for the first two, I think we both were pretty similar on both of them, I feel like. I think I still came out of New Moon liking Twilight, the first one, more, just because I feel like, I don't know, that I was pretty much the same on both, but I think for me, the first one at least feels a little bit more like it did at first, but sure. I was pretty much like a, they were both like not big fan of either of the first two for me. How did you feel going into this one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't particularly rate them on any scale. I think in terms of movies and story, they're all bad. So I don't really have like a, this one's better than this one, or this one is the best, or this one, whatever, because I'm not really approaching this series with that in mind, because I know that they're bad. So I'm just trying to have a good time. And so good time scale, yeah, thumbs up to all three.
What's your good time scale though? Well, I guess we'll get into it with this one because it's easier when you have three. So Eclipse came out 2010. They came out all consecutive years. So they had New Moon in 2009. They actually announced this one before New Moon came out in February 2009. And because they were doing the post-production on New Moon, they had to get another director. So they couldn't get the director for the second movie back because he was still working on the second movie when they started working on this movie. That's how close they were doing it. So they got director David Slade, who really hasn't done anything really like huge. He did some Black Mirror episodes recently, I think. So I think this is like his biggest movie though. Like this is the thing that he's most known for right now. He got started right away. He did meet with some cast members, I read, to discuss their characters individually, which, you know, seems like he continued with the first two of like the directors taking those movies pretty seriously, which is cool. As I kind of hinted at the beginning, we did get a cast change here from so Rachel LaVerve, I think is how you say her last name. She was originally the role of Victoria, and she had to be replaced by Bryce Dallas Howard due to scheduling conflicts. So that's like the one big change from the second movie to this movie. But otherwise, I didn't find a ton of like things like production wise that were that interesting. The only thing I found that was cool and funny, I don't know, like a good story. So there's the scene where Jacob has to carry Bella down like the dirt path, like he like carries her like through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they were originally going to do that with like a rig. So Kristen Stewart is going to be like on a rig and it was going to look like he was carrying her, but he wasn't. But they realized like the movement didn't really work. I feel like it seems pretty obvious. Like he's like pretending to carry her, but like it's not really moving with her.
Yeah.
So Taylor Lautner, in the news recently.
Good old Taylor Lautner showing up like Taylor Swift.
Of course.
Doing a backflip
now,
on the stage.
Taylor's version. So seemingly with that same personality, this seems like something he would do if you think about that. He immediately volunteered to carry her for the scene, which it seems like, okay, just like it's not really that long of a scene, but for some reason, the scene took like all day. So he had to carry her like the entire day, basically.
Uh-huh.
So apparently he was very sore afterwards from
interesting
carrying her all day. I don't know. I just thought that was funny there. He was like, yeah, I'll do it. But they had a whole rig they had like set up that actually didn't end up working.
Yeah. The Blu-ray did have a 6-part behind the scenes documentary that I did not watch because I didn't have time. But I would assume that maybe there's more production information.
Yeah, I looked up a lot of the trivia, and like a lot of the trivia was just stuff like Kristen Stewart had to use a wig, or like Robert Pattinson didn't want to wax his eyebrows again. I was like, okay, seems cool. It feels like at this point they're kind of just like in the groove, like because obviously the directors are changing, but they're carrying like the same cast, a lot of the same crew, you know.
Uh-huh.
So at this point, third movie in, they're doing these consecutive years. I think they're pretty much in the groove of making these things. And this movie too doesn't have a lot of new sets or different places they have to go, I think, compared to New Moon. Like New Moon is, they had a lot of like changing from locations because they decided to shoot it in a different place for New Moon. But I think this one, it's like pretty much carried right through from the third one. So it was released on July 30th, 2010, which is the only movie that was not released in like November this is the only one of the series released in June. It set a record for the biggest midnight opening. That record that they beat was previously held by New Moon, which had been released 7 months prior. So they beat the record in November, and then 7 months later, they beat the record again with Eclipse.
Nice.
Classic. And then they also eventually beat out New Moon's domestic gross as well. So the story with these pretty much is like everyone...
They just get bigger and bigger as it goes, yeah.
Yeah, everyone. And it was like, also, I think then the next movie that beat it was the very next year. Not the Breaking Dawn Part 1, I think, because before Breaking Dawn Part 1 came out, Deathly Hallows Part 1 came out. And so that actually is going to be the next one to beat it.
I was going to say 2011 would have been like... Because Hunger Games was 2012, and so 2011 would have been Harry Potter, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is a wild time for box office. This is the peak box office time for like these movies.
Yeah, definitely wild. The whole like event movie thing was on the rise. I feel like this was just, that's why they kept getting bigger and bigger too, because event movies sort of were becoming a thing.
Yeah.
And I think also as social media was kind of becoming a thing more around then, like that boosted it probably. And also like people were more inclined to go see it sooner than later because of spoilers and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So another reminder that these were like the biggest movies of the time. The Twilight movies and then also Harry Potter, like all the young adult kind of movies. Reviews for this movie were slightly more positive than New Moon.
Wow.
Some critics were saying of the time, at least, I think these were printed, like current reviews, that it was the best in the series due to the kind of leaning into the large scale nature of like the blockbuster, which like you said, it's like, it definitely feels of the three so far, like a very,
it's definitely the biggest. Yeah, you can tell that their budget increased and they kind of upgraded the actual film aspect of it, technical aspect.
So I think right now at this point in time with June 2010, Twilight is doing pretty good. I think really with the Breaking Dawn movies is when it's going to, not financially, but I think critically it is more, gets to be a little bit more lambasted, you know, because once you reach the fourth and fifth movie, it's a little bit of, and also like releasing two Twilight movies within 7 months is wild.
Yeah.
So a lot of oversaturation is going to be felt in the next two, but at least for this one, they were a little bit more on board. Roger Ebert with 2 out of 4 stars, which, you know, like for this is like pretty cool. Like he's a cool guy, you know,
sure.
he likes his horror movies, even though this isn't really a horror movie, but like you can pretend because it's vampires, I guess. So I have a summary here from the source, Summit Entertainment. So straight from the production company. If
Amazing.
You want to maybe just get everyone up to speed with where we are in the Twilight story in this movie.
Bella once again finds herself surrounded by danger as Seattle is ravaged by a string of mysterious killings and a malicious vampire continues her quest for revenge. In the midst of it all, she is forced to choose between her love for Edward and her friendship with Jacob, knowing that her decision has the potential to ignite the struggle between vampire and werewolf. With her graduation quickly approaching, Bella is confronted with the most important decision of her life. Which is wild because she's literally like 18, so.
And it's also wild because it's really not, the conflict of these movies is like she's made the decision. Because I feel like she's already like in the first movie decided that she wanted to be turned. So it's been like two movies of her just being like, turn me into a vampire, please. And it's like, it's getting old, that whole plot line. But like I said, it's getting a little bigger. We got a little bit more plot happening, slightly.
I mean, really, there's zero plot in any of these movies. There, like, nothing happens. You could put all three of these movies into one movie and have the same, really condense the story to one movie with everything we've had so far. And we've watched like 6 full hours of Twilight content at this point, and you could really condense it to 2, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. How'd you feel about this third installment?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm just here for the entertainment. I have zero thoughts about critically thinking about this series. I think that it was fine to watch. I think it's still a little ridiculous and silly, just as the first two were, like some of the lines that come out of this.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, what? And I think for me, the more I watch, the more I actually don't understand the craze, which is interesting. Because I thought that I get it. I was like in fandoms. I'm still in fandoms. I will be so annoying when Percy Jackson comes out or when the trailer drops, like the official trailer drops for Percy Jackson. And like, so I get all that. But I think for this, like, I thought watching it would help me understand why more about this series specifically. And I just don't get it.
It feels like there's not enough substance. Like, I don't know, like what there was to hold on to.
Like, when you compare this to, like, something else, I mean, Harry Potter is on its own level, I think. But when you compare it to, like, Hunger Games or something along those lines, it's maybe a little more small scale, but it's still pretty massive. I understand Hunger Games or even, like, Divergent, where there is, like, a lot of world building or fantasy or like things like that. But I think with this, I don't think the story's there. And I think that's what gets me is like, I guess it really just is because of Edward and Jacob being attractive. Like that has to be
it. That was their only banking point.
But
was
even
that.
Then I don't understand the like longevity of it. Of like being still attached to the series, just because there's not really any substance there beyond like vampire hot, werewolf hot. Like and even the love triangle, like
it's not very good.
There's
it's pretty
not
bad.
A lot of drama there. I feel like she doesn't really have a lot of chemistry with either of them.
Mm-mm.
And so I have a hard time believing that this love triangle even exists because I'm like, God, Bella, do you even like either of them? Like,
yeah,
you're acting like you're having a hard time deciding. And to me, you have more chemistry with Alice. And so I don't understand why you're not with Alice. But like, or even like that scene in the last one where she's like being her arms being fixed by Carlisle, like she has more chemistry with Carlisle than she does with Edward or Jacob. So I don't know. I'm having a hard time being convinced.
I think that's like you said, it's the hot factor is what I understand at the moment, but the longevity is definitely interesting. I think you obviously have like nostalgia, but even I feel like nostalgia, how does that carry this far? Like there's so many other things to be nostalgic for.
I think
too.
There's things that I'm nostalgic about, like Divergent. I was very into Divergent. I have not reread any of it since high school. But I think for that, like, I understand why I liked it at the time, but that's not one of the series that even though I was like super into it then, that now I'm like, oh yeah, like Divergent. Like I lean towards Hunger Games and Harry Potter and Percy Jackson. So it's like the ones that have more substance to them or withstanding, whatever. And so I don't know. It's very interesting. I even like having dissected some of this, I still just find
it's very baffling.
I'm very fascinated with the growth of Twilight and how it happened, especially after watching the movies. Because I knew they were bad. What's even funnier is I can understand now why I never learned anything about the story.
Because there's nothing to learn.
Because there's nothing to learn. And so it's one of those things that my whole life, it's been like, man, how have I gone this long? If Twilight was this popular, how have I gone this long with knowing 2-3 spoilers at best?
Those are the only spoilers to know, really.
Yeah, and it's like the baby is one, and then it's like the Bella, where the hell have you been, Loca? Like, I know that one, but that's not even really a spoiler. And then I know there's a love triangle, and like that's really the gist of what I know about the series. And even coming away from watching three of them, I'm like, is there anything even else? Like, like what is there? And I'm now much less surprised that I didn't have any of the series spoiled for me because nothing happens. And every yeah. movie's the same. It's like, what about Jacob? What about Edward? I want to be changed. And then
my dad wants to go fishing. Oh, man, I got grounded. Oh, there's the red hair lady.
Well, like, yeah, or like the dad plot line is just like, oh, there's another murderer that he has to like worry about. Like, it just feels like there's it's a constant repeat, which I think more is on Stephanie Meyer's writing than it is mm-hmm. on anything else.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still think that all three of them give good performances, though.
Yeah, I mean, with what they have, and I think they lean into it.
They sell it. And I think even all the side characters as well really sell it. Like Alice and Jasper, Emmett even, like he's a pretty small character, mm-hmm. but I feel like he sells, like they all seem like they want to be doing this. And they all seem like, I mean, I don't know what kind of Twilight fatigue they had.
Well, and it's crazy to like, because watching these, I feel like these have to be like movies that are like... that no one wants to be in. That's what I get the feel. And but then you see like they get those high school friends back for every movie for like 5 minutes.
They get
the whole friend group, and I'm like, man, they came back for one scene. They got Anna Kendrick for like a 5 minute scene.
Well, and Anna Kendrick would have been pretty popular now.
This
would have been right when Pitch Perfect came out. So she was really increasing. Mm-hmm. And like
Pitch Perfect was 2 years later. So I don't know either how way, popular, but I think she would have been more.
She was more of a rising star at this point, yeah. too. So
Scott Pilgrim was that year, which was a big movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like a reminder that, oh, yeah, these are really popular movies.
Or if you read any of the behind-the-scenes stuff up to this point, it seems like they all enjoyed it and enjoyed being involved and being on set and being friends and all that. So it sounds like, I mean, I know there's drama that's coming.
There's always drama.
As always, especially when you involve a love triangle. Oh my God. But yeah, I don't know. I think that, you know, in this one... Yeah, I don't even really know what all happened in this one. Like, there was these other vampires that I guess were trying to kill
Bella because the red hair girl was like making an army, I guess.
I don't really understand they wanted to destroy the Cullens because the Volturi want.
Oh, yes.
Carlisle and Esme dead, because then they can get recruit Alice and Edward my understanding is they want whatever powers Alice and Edward have, I guess. I don't really understand how Bella's involved in this apart from the fact that she's with Edward.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they think that she's supposed to be a vampire, right? Then they want her to turn.
I guess because she can resist the powers for some reason.
Well, and also, like, didn't they, like, promise, like, we promise if you don't kill her, we'll turn her in the second movie? I think they made that promise.
Yeah, something like that. That sounds like that's
still
kind
of floating around. The overarching narrative between these movies is so weird, because it's like you said, there's not really, like, anything, there's not any cliffhanger at the end of any of these movies that makes me feel like, oh, man, I can't wait to see what happens in the next one.
Yeah. And it feels like the stakes are so, at this point, the stakes are so low. Because they made it seem like this was going to be like a horrible battle and that these vampires are like so powerful. And then they basically just like destroyed all of them in seconds without any of them dying. And like really like Taylor Lautner, Jacob, he got like... he got attacked briefly.
Yeah.
And so he was like the only one that came away from this injured. And before they're all like, oh, they're so powerful when they're like so like freshly turned. And then like there was literally no casualties at all of any of the characters that we know or like care about. So I feel like at this point, the stakes are so low.
Yes.
That I'm like, obviously, no one's going to get hurt. Nothing's going to happen. And they're just going to come out on top. And maybe that's the point of the whole thing, is you root for them and you don't really have to worry. I don't know.
But I feel like even like the conflict isn't that engaging. Like, I'm not really excited to see the fight. Like, I think they don't really do a good job, like, either, like, setting up the fights. Like, it's just, like, in a field. And it's very, it's just like they put them in a field, really. And it's like, all right, hit each other in the middle of the day. And then it's over. I did think
the one thing that impressed me was when Edward and Riley and Victoria had their thing. And then
that was a good fight.
Bella cut her arm and like caused them, like that was the only thing that I was like, oh, because like I found that interesting because I wasn't expecting her to do that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, that was pretty much the only thing in this movie that I was like, oh, that was a nice little surprise.
Good job, Bella.
But everything else was like pretty much anything that I expected.
Right.
From the movie. I laughed at the scene when she punched Jacob and broke her hand.
That was funny.
And then when they just like told the dad, when they just like told Charlie, and Charlie was just like,
he tried to kiss me. And like,
yeah. And Charlie was just like, okay.
Charlie's really going through it in these movies. He's like so out of the loop.
This man, I am stressed for him. Like, yeah, he's just like trying. Like when he, it's so, when he's like looking at the paper of Riley missing, and he's like, I just don't know what I would do if it was like my own kid. I was like, damn.
Bruh.
And she's just like up and leaving him.
I know.
I don't know. I've got a lot of conflicted feelings. Actually, the only emotional draw I have from this movie is her relationship with Charlie. So
yeah, which I feel like just is not going to end well. I just don't understand how it could.
I don't know how it could end well. If I mean, he has to find out, right?
Eventually,
like, that she's a vamp becomes a vamp.
Doesn't she have to leave her whole family behind? I'm just kind of confused about logistics.
Because I think they have to just leave because otherwise they'd find out she's a vampire. But I'm kind of like, just tell him.
Like, I guess, yeah. And there's like, stay away for like a year when you're like the newborn thing.
Yeah.
Like
just stay with the Cullens and have them like help you. Also, didn't they leave town because, like, I know why they left town before, but I thought part of the reason they left town also in New Moon was because Carlisle, like, they just had been there too long. And so, like, Carlisle was not aging when he was, like, working as a doctor. But now they're just, like, back. And I was a little confused.
I forgot about that. You're right.
Is Carlisle just, like, working at the hospital now? Like, or did they just live in the woods and not tell anyone? But then, like, the kids went to graduation after they just, like, up and left and disappeared off the face of the planet.
Well, yeah, and like Charlie knows they're there. Like he's
for months.
Like he knows like they're
Edward
there and
had
she talks
disappeared.
About them.
Yeah, and Edward had disappeared for like, or and Alice had disappeared for months. So it's like I just have a lot of questions about the logistics of what's going on that I know are not going to be answered. Maybe they're answered in the book. Maybe when I get to Eclipse,
I guess
I'll read it and find
like,
out.
It. I don't know. It's a very odd. The cohesion between like the overarching, like I said, the narrative between the movies is very like non-existent, I guess.
Yeah. And
it's interesting that the last movie was split into two because that's so like, I guess the only arching narrative between the two movies is going to be the one that's technically the same story. Because there's got to be then like
they have the,
something
the
that
last
happens.
One the last two have to be about the Volturi people. Like it has to be. Because otherwise, there's nothing else to go off of. Like, they can't just keep having everything in forks
going.
And have it be like, Jacob and Edward and Jacob and Edward. Hey, like,
we say that, but I don't know what to think anymore. It could all part one could be that, then part two, they change it up.
Well, that's probably what it'll be, honestly. I mean, look at this
that's
movie.
Like Hunger
so.
Games part one, where it's like nothing in the first one.
Yeah,
and
it's
like them
exactly.
Just shooting
it's like,
commercials.
Why did you even split this anyway in the first place? All because of fucking Harry Potter.
Classic Harry Potter move.
Classic Harry Potter move. They
Harry
made
Potter
all
did it
money.
Well, though.
Harry Potter needed to split it. I still believe that. I think that splitting Deathly Hallows was one of the best things they ever did because you have to with all the like Horcrux stuff and then the final battle takes forever. So it's like, I get that. But like other ones I have not understood except for the fact that it makes them more money, which is obviously the reason why it is. But I'll be interested to see how it is for this one for sure because
Not to jump too far to the very end of the episode, but we're getting Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and I feel like that's the first Part 1 in a long time. A lot of movies have, like, Infinity War and Endgame, technically, were, like,
part 1 and 2.
And
part 2,
but
we're
they
separate
aren't
movies.
They're not named Part 1 and Part 2.
I mean, Spider-Verse was a Part 1, But they didn't really advertise it as a part one.
Yeah, and it's not, I don't think it's like in the official title. And even Dune, like they really tried to play that down. So I think Hunger Games kind of killed. I feel like that was part one and part two, and like this whole craze with part one and part two during this time killed that. But I guess we'll see if it works with Mission Impossible. One thing that I thought was interesting was like thinking about the cohesion between the movies, like visually, or like the lack of cohesion.
Sure.
Because I think one thing that we keep going back to Harry Potter and like because it's these are like the comparisons for the movie of the time. But a lot of these young adult series have different directors for all the movies. And so this one has a different director for every movie. Part one and part two, obviously, I consider kind of the same. So I think it's interesting how, like, I really like how some movies do it. So I think, like, Harry Potter does it really well because a lot of people point this out, but it gets darker, like, as the story goes. And so the cohesion or, like, the change of visual tone or style between the movies makes sense. In this movie, I feel like I really don't understand from these three movies why they've had, like, so many changes other than just, like, there's a new director and they're like, oh, well, let's just make it look like this now. Like, because the first movie was so, like, dark and weird-looking, and the third movie was very sepia-toned, I guess, and, like, kind of fall-ish. And then this movie is, it's dark, but in a different way than it's, like, not blue. The first one is a little more blue.
Yeah, this one feels very, standard blockbuster looks nice to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that they just don't care.
Another thing where it's just like, I just like there's missing so many things that might make me understand why people like the series more. But that's
but it's just not there.
It's just not there.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. I think I think that they're not movies that after this I would ever sit down and watch again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they are movies that, like, if I had friends doing a watch party of these movies, I would attend that.
I would attend the Twilight watch party.
I would attend the watch party. But I would not put these on myself, even though I do own the whole series on Blu-ray.
Wow.
I got them from the library book sale. So I got all of them, every single one on Blu-ray, which is a pretty fire, honestly.
That is actually pretty cool. On Blu-ray too, library?
On Blu-ray, all of them, yep.
Wow.
Yep,
big
someone win. Someone donated them to the library and I got every single one
from the library book sale.
So love that for me. But yeah, I just think that, I don't know, I think for me, if I had watched these when I was younger, I may feel more inclined towards them. But also, like I said, I am here for entertainment value, and I think that the entertainment value is good enough for
it's
me
there.
At it, this
like,
point.
The scene in the tent is a classic.
I laughed. I love it. I think that was so funny. Okay, when he was like, you know, it'd be better if you take your clothes off. I was like, oh my God, Jacob.
Really pushing the envelope there.
Yeah, that scene was so funny. I'm glad you brought that up because
that was a
good just like reminder.
And I feel like there is a little more awareness in this one of like the campiness where like they actually do mention
That's
like how
point.
Jacob never has a shirt on, which I think is very funny. Because he does. He's always shirtless with cargo pants, which, you know,
is that
the look for the summer? Is it a cargo shirtless cargo pants summer?
I think it should be. I think we should just do full abs. Full abs out. Let's do it. Let's pull a Jacob Black and the rest of the werewolves, I think is a vibe. Bella also really confuses me in this one. Because
everyone.
I think
she's so confusing.
I think at this point, up to this point, I understood her decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one, she lost me a little bit. I think I have to read the book to understand, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
To like, because she narrates, so it's in first person, the books are. So she's always narrating her thoughts or what she feels. There's a lot of thought description, 600 pages of it. I'm kind of like, okay.
Mm-hmm,
I need a little less Bella.
Well,
brain.
I feel like Jacob is, you know, obviously just so convincing, you know, just when he's like, you love me, But you don't, like, I feel like he, it's like, if you say that enough times, it just works. You know, if you tell someone
that, whole, like,
that they love you.
Imprinting scene where he was
oh my God.
She's like, have you imprinted on someone? And he was like, you know if I have.
You know if you be imprinted.
I was like, damn, okay, chill.
Jacob has some out-of-pocket lines in this movie.
He really does. He, both of them, I've said before, I'm not really an Edward fan either.
I'm just Edward out of default, honestly,
but
I think at this point.
But I think Jacob is really, like, just showing his colors too much. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to kind of dial it back a little bit, maybe not be an oversharer, and
Jacob needs
not
to go to therapy,
continually confess his love for Bella, which I do think she led him on a little bit in the second one, for sure.
A little.
But I also think, like, she set her boundary, whether or not that was right of her to do, and he needs to, like, back up and chill. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm really not a fan of Jacob. The whole kissing her thing.
That was a no.
Without her consent.
That was tough.
I was like, that red flag. I mean, he's already given red flags at the end of New Moon.
I mean, both of them have. There's red flags all over the place.
I will say that to me immediately puts him on the hit list. Whereas Edward, I'm like,
no pun intended.
Pun intended. Ooh. But I think that Edward is just like, I don't know. I just don't really like him.
Edward is just, he's very charisma-less. He has no interesting qualities.
Yeah, he, apart from the fact that he's Robert Pattinson, I really don't understand
the craze. I don't understand Bella's just a choice. Yeah,
like, because I just think as a person, even in the book, like, he's just really fucking boring. Mm-hmm, and so I don't know what Bella's, like, obsessed with him in the book. But even just as, like, a book character or, like, a book boyfriend or whatever, like, I don't read it and think, like, oh, wow, he is great. Like, I'm just kind of still, like, why is she with him, especially, like, after he left her for a while and then just, like, came back. I don't know. I feel like he's also just very self-centered because this whole time he's been like, no, I can't turn you because, like, I'm depressed. And I don't have a soul, and I can't, like, curse you to the same fate, which is fine. That's his prerogative. That's his own feelings. But then all of a sudden, he's like, well, if you marry me, then I'll change you.
Classic.
Like, if you marry me, I'll change you. And I'm like, that's a red flag, Edward. Like, you're kind of just waving one a little bit, pushing it slightly up the pole there.
Yeah, right.
Don't know what to do with that, so.
I like when, one of my favorite lines in this movie was when Jacob went up to Edward and just said, let's face it, I'm hotter than you. I was like, wow, really,
you know,
really putting it on the line. In this movie, I don't think he's wrong. They don't do Edward many favors with his look.
I agree.
He doesn't look great. Even just head up, like shoulders up. Yeah, like taking the shirtless aspect out, I feel like he still is.
Yeah, like, I'm not really an abs person. I'll take a dad bod over an abs bod.
I'm not really an abs person.
I'm not really an abs guy, but I can appreciate that Taylor is an attractive man. And so,
if he didn't talk, I feel like I would be Team Jacob.
Yeah, just on that alone. We need to make, like, a chart of, like, who has what. And at the end of the day, which one is better based on that. Like, Taylor is hotter, yeah. And I think that he's a win if you're going solely off that. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She can stay human if she's with Jacob.
Well, for some, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't want to stay human. I don't know. But for me, that feels better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want to live forever, honestly.
And then we move to, you know, red flag. He's an asshole. He's
very very manipulative.
Manipulative, toxic, possessive. Does not make him cute. It's not a cute look. So thumbs down. I did like when Edward, the one win I'll give Edward that I was like, oh, okay, was when he said to Jacob, he was like, I can see you more with her because she can stay human and, like, that would be better for her.
Yeah.
But then
I
he's
feel
like
Edward has been a lot more adult.
Well, that's because he's fucking old, because he's
a
vampire.
Like, yeah, he is 800.
He's
like 800 years old.
But then he was like, I'm the only one who can protect her. And I was like, oh, my. Okay, back to the whole possessive thing.
How many times do they use the word protect in these movies? It's a lot.
They use it a lot in the books, too.
Protect.
Yeah, I think that at this point, I'm still Team Alice, if I can pick Team Alice. But I would say, like the last movie, leaning Edward, but I'm really not pleased about it.
Yeah, it's like fine, I guess, you know. He at least admitted that he thinks he shouldn't force her to do anything, you know. Yeah. I don't think Jacob would admit that. So for now, still Team Edward. I guess we'll see where time takes us. I mean, I don't know what's even going to be in the next movie. Like,
yeah, maybe we can make some predictions. What do we think's going to happen?
Is the baby the next movie? Or
I don't know. I don't know when the baby happens. I feel like part two is the baby.
There's got to be something that happens at the end of part one that makes you like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen in part two?
Yeah, there has to be a cliffhanger. I feel like maybe we go to the Volturi clan, or maybe they come to the Cullens. I don't know. And then I hope someone dies.
Because yeah,
be a little more exciting.
I feel like Charlie should die. I know I like Charlie, but I'm just saying, like, I think that would be the most impactful death.
I would be so sad.
Or Alice might be the other most impactful death.
Alice.
Well, just because, like, there's no one else that, like, is interesting in these movies. So I'm just like, there's so little choice where it's like, if Emmett died, I'd be like, oh, man. The Confederate soldier,
Emmett,
down again.
And, well, that's Jasper.
Jasper, whatever. I can't get them confused.
But Emmett is a lot better in the books. He has way more personality in the books. Like, he's super nice in the books. He's kind of like a happy little himbo. He's just a guy vibing in the books, which I like. I appreciate Emmett in the books. I think they don't do him justice in the movies.
I feel like it just got cut, like, a lot of the scenes to me.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Let's see. So, the is that what they are? The Volturi? That's what they're called? Volturi? I think that there will be another battle of some kind.
Of course. But a battle that's like a precursor to a looming larger battle, you know?
Yeah, they'll have to kill someone in the Volturi will die. Like, maybe that girl dies, or like their leader, or like one of those other higher ups
dies.
Isn't
the girl, what's her face though? Isn't she kind of famous? I forgot her name.
Yes.
Like the blonde hair, Dakota Fanning, right? So I feel like maybe they want to keep her if she's the more famous one.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe.
You know what? I actually feel like if Carlisle dies, that'd be the best story-wise, because I
that
feel
would
like
be sad.
He's like kind of like the moral compass of the group, or like the father figure.
I am a big Carlisle fan.
Yeah, I feel like him dying would be the most, to me, would make the most story
sense. You know
what
would be a good ship? Carlisle and Charlie. I know that Carlisle's like
so
married with Esme or whatever, but
I feel like vampires, like every 100 years, should be able to marry like another person.
A human, or like be with a human, have a fling.
Hundreds of years is a long
time. It's like your 100-year hall pass.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a hall pass every
100 years.
You
get a hall pass.
For whatever new human is on the planet, that's when your hall pass reactivates. I think that Carlisle and Charlie would be a good match.
You get a hall pass for every generation. So you get a Gen X hall pass,
a
millennial hall pass.
Gen Z hall pass.
Every
That's
generation.
Wild. So she ends up with Edward, obviously.
I think they get married in the first one. Maybe the end is like their wedding.
Well, they have to, because does their wedding get broken up? Maybe the Volturi comes to their wedding.
Oh, which one do they have sex during?
The first one, because she has to have a baby.
Okay, so the wedding has to be in the first one.
Yeah, so they can have sex. And then
classic Mormon moment.
She turns into a vampire on the wedding night, right?
Yes, I think that's got to be it.
So he turns her.
Yeah.
Or is she impregnated before he turns her? Sorry. That was a bad way to word that.
Who knows? I guess we'll find out.
I guess we're going to find out. What happens to Jacob? I feel
Does Jacob die in the last movie?
Maybe.
I feel like that would be the
only...
As
a wolf. He dies as a wolf, and then he turns from the wolf into a human, and he's laying on the ground, and
he's
like,
Bella,
Jacob!
I always... I'll always love you.
I always love you. I just love you. It was always you and only you for me. And then she's like, well, we know, wasn't Jacob. It only you for me? Because I also have Edward and you were just my side piece for a hot second.
While Edward was out,
I think we'll definitely get some more abs. I feel like something has to happen that, like, now they kind of have this truce with,
Yeah, I like that. I like that element a little.
Yeah, I feel like we have to have, like, kind of a falling out at some point, probably caused by Bella and Jacob.
Of course.
Maybe Jacob and Edward fight, and then Jacob dies, and that's what breaks the truce. But we need Jacob in part two.
Jacob needs to be part two. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of...
It's gonna be like a James Franco in Spider-Man 3, when, like, he's bad the whole movie, but then he turns good and, like, he saves them, but then he dies.
Ooh,
I feel like.
Okay, so maybe the clan, maybe they break up. And break up as in the truce breaks up in part one.
The truce gets broken.
And then in part two, Jacob sacrifices himself for Edward, maybe. Yeah.
Ooh,
and then
for Edward.
For Edward. And wow. Then
what a character
he's like,
turn.
And then he has that moment where he's like, I did it for you, Bella, because I love you and I know you love him and you're happier with him. And then he dies. Yeah.
I think we might be giving this series a little too much credit.
Here's what we're doing is we're making this series better than it probably is. We're coming up with good endings and it's probably going to be the dumbest thing we've ever seen. Actually, but I don't know.
Will we get a flash forward? I want a flash forward at the end. I like a good flash forward.
Oh, flash forward.
I like a flash forward.
Definitely not like the Harry Potter flash forward. That one needs to go and be erased from existence.
You don't like the Harry Potter flash forward?
No, they look like 80 years old. They look like middle aged and they're like supposed to be
like the Harry Potter flash forward.
Aren't they supposed to be like in their 30s though?
Yeah,
I feel like
they need to go back and like they need to like digitally
CGI. I like the concept of it, but I just cannot.
The Hunger Games flash forward is the real crap one. Like when she's like in the field.
I remember that. I even
she has like a baby with PETA and then she's like in a field.
Oh, I love PETA though.
Yeah, I know. I think it should have ended Hunger Games, the last one, when they're like in bed at her house. Like that's like the fade out. But then there's like a classic like 10 years later or whatever.
I don't know. But they have to show them happy. They have to show that they're still happy. I don't know. It's been a long time. I actually fairly recently watched Hunger Games, probably more recently than some of these others. But I feel like I just cannot get that Harry Potter scene out of my head. Like I have like old Draco and old Harry like imprinted in my brain.
Draco looks pretty bad.
And I'm I don't know. Yeah. They all look bad. That needs to go, please. I don't know who greenlit that.
Well, that's in the book though. So like
it
the
is
scene,
in the, book. The scene I'm fine with. It's really just the way they look. I just cannot get past the makeup in my mind.
Tough look for like for a great movie. Like for the rest of the movie, it's so good, and then it's like
I know
they just don't look great at the end.
I know. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens in Twilight Breaking Dawn Part Two. I mean Part One.
Part One
and
part
two.
Part Two. We'll see. But are we doing two separate episodes or are we just going to put those together?
I don't know. I feel like we need to watch
part one
part one and evaluate because we'll probably end it in August sometime. We can always push the episode back if we need to later in August. And then
we should watch part one this week.
We're going to have time. We could
probably at night.
Yeah, we could watch it.
Part one, baby.
At least
these movies are also just too long. They could all be 30 minutes. Well, like you said, they could all be 2 hours together, but they could have at least shaved 20 minutes off of these movies and no one would care.
Yeah. Easily. And the books are too long, too. Like, I'm still reading New Moon and it literally took like over 100 pages for literally anything to happen.
Right. Well, I guess we'll see if that continues in Breaking Dawn. Let's just throw out our question of the week here. For the week, our question is, what is the best love triangle in film history?
If anyone answers with this love triangle, I will be so disappointed because you are so wrong.
They are. You know what the best love triangle in TV history is?
What?
Is season one of High School Musical, the musical, the series. That was the best love triangle.
Oh my God. Yeah. Great love triangle.
It was. What
I
a
totally
show
agree.
That they
just
ruined.
Just bombed so bad. It went downhill. First season was a banger and it just went downhill.
I think you could really just watch the first season on its own. Like I would still recommend season one. Just
and
watch
don't
season
watch
one.
Anything farther than that. Yeah. Totally agree. Okay, let me think. Peter Parker, Harry Osborn, and MJ.
Peter Parker, MJ, and Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Oh.
Been there, done that, read that in fix 100%.
Well, you know, you could say Hunger Games. Hunger Games, that was a huge thing
Hunger
with Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, for sure.
It was a big love triangle.
The Notebook.
Mm-hmm,
that one does have a love triangle.
Yeah, there's some choices, and there's a lot of movies in these lists that I haven't seen. So, you know, some people might have a lot of different ones that we don't know. Remember that movie Yesterday, the Beatles one? That movie was so bad.
Yeah, I never watched that.
Not a good movie.
I think because you said it was bad, and I trusted your opinion on it. And I was like, yeah, no.
The funniest part of that movie is when Ed Sheeran's ringtone is Shape of You. That's the funniest joke in the movie. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, so let us know. What is the best love triangle in film history? You can answer that question on Spotify, on any of our social medias. Mm. Everything is in the show notes, so you can check us out there. Are we on Threads yet? Should we make a Threads?
No, because you can't switch accounts on Threads.
Bruh.
Because we both already made our accounts.
Right.
We can't switch to a secondhand film
Damn.
Account. So there is no Threads for Secondhand Film Pod.
At Mark Zuckerberg, we need the Secondhand Film Critics Threads.
Once they add the switch account thing, we'll be able to add Secondhand Film to Threads.
Perfect. And then we'll answer that question in our next episode, which will feature us attempting what some may consider an impossible episode. We could die trying. We will be talking about Mission Impossible. Dead Reckoning.
Part one. And we will be having a special guest.
Tom Cruise! And who the leader of Scientology guy. That guy too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll be having a nice little talk about cults and their effect on the film industry.
Perfect. Look forward to that. Yeah, we'll be having our good friend Danny on, who is part of the Film is Lit podcast. We had them on an episode. Good friends of the podcast. So he'll be coming on talking about the new Mission Impossible movie. He is probably a bigger fan than us, or like he has more history with the series. Like I've watched them for the first time the last year
or so. I have
watched
the first three. So I'll be going into this one without watching the last three, but it's good.
That sucks because the first three are like the worst three as well.
Yeah, well,
I know a lot of people like the first movie. Not a huge fan.
I liked the first one.
It's okay. It just like
so far I thought the third one was fine.
The third one was okay.
The second one was bad.
Second one is the one where he's on the motorcycle and he's like basically like laying on the ground. Like,
yeah, I do know that they get better. But I unfortunately don't think I'm gonna have a chance to watch them before Wednesday.
You can't. It helps. Like there's some connective tissue between the fifth and the sixth. There is a little connective tissue, but like I really don't know how much they're gonna really carry from the other movies in. So is Simon Pegg in the third one? Have you gotten him? Has he come in the picture yet?
I don't know who that
Shaun
is.
Of the Dead, the Shaun of the Dead guy? Is he in the third one? Oh, okay, because he comes in the fourth one. Okay, he's a good addition. So Simon Pegg is a good addition. So we'll see how this movie is. I'm excited. The trailers have been sick. I'm excited to just see like a cool action movie that's good in the movie theater. Because there have been a lot of bad ones recently.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think I have anything else on my mind.
Yeah, I don't got nothing else on my mind either.
I got nothing
on my mind.
Isn't
there a song that's like, on my mind?
That sounds familiar.
I don't know.
But I don't know. On my mind. It's on my mind.
Yeah.
Title track of the movie, On My Mind.
On my mind.
Barely On My Mind by the girl, the band that was dating the Wallows guy. I don't know any names.
Yes.
Barely On My Mind, where like she posted that on her TikTok all the time.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Does she do it on my mind? Does she do it like on my mind? Does she do that?
Maybe,
or am I just like tripping?
I don't know. Maybe it's time to end the episode.
Yes.
So thank you all for listening. And until next time, I am shirtless with cargo pants.
And I am Edward watching Jacob cuddle Bella in a sleeping bag in a tent.
Bummer.
And we're your secondhand film critics.